You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Knowing God means knowing His greatness in our lives. Learn more in week 5 of Knowing God.
All right, good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Can you please tell the person seated next to you that I'm so glad to be sitting right beside you this very afternoon? Come on now. If you've joined us for the very first time, my name is Martin. I am not a pastor here. I am one of the volunteer ministers and one of the volunteer MCs who happen to preach on a Sunday. And if you've joined us for the very first time, we are on a series we call Knowing God. How many of you here were present the past 4 Sundays? And for the past 4 Sundays, we've talked about or we've unraveled the book of Psalms. We've discussed the different poetries that David wrote and the different songs that he actually wrote in the collection of the Psalms. And on the first week, we've talked about God's glory, that His glory outshines out of His holiness, that He's first and foremost holy, and because of His holiness, His glory outshines. And as His creation, we were designed to reflect such glory in the same way that the moon reflects the glory of the sun. And a week after that, we've talked about God's goodness, that God is good. How many of you here believe that God is good? In every season of our life, God is good. And David talked about, or David mentioned there, that we have to taste and see that God is good. That before you can realize and appreciate and have a full knowledge that God is indeed and surely good, we have to first experience it. And on the third week, we've talked about God's generosity, that God is a generous giver, that He does not give material blessings. He does not just give provision, but He's generous with Himself. He's generous with His Spirit. He's generous even with His Son. He even died on the cross for us. And after that, we've talked about God's graciousness, that God is a God of grace. And grace there means undeserved. We do not deserve the grace that God is giving us. The reason why we are here, the reason why we're worshiping God, the reason why you have a vibrant relationship with God is just by the grace of God. And today, this is the wrapping of the series. This is the end of the series. So we'll be ending this series with this. We'll be talking about God's greatness. Can everybody say that with me? Greatness. And we will be looking at the book of Psalm, and that will be on chapter 145. It says there in Psalm 145, verses 1 to 21, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. And all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints, talking about us, shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down, and the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, and to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and that all the flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. All right, for the past 4 Sundays, we've talked about the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is actually a collection of poetry, a collection of song. It's of different genres. So if you're here and you're an expressive type of person, you probably have a diary. Or if you don't have a diary, perhaps you have a Facebook account that is filled with diary-like messages that every single day you post it out there. If you have an Instagram and you call it the Instagram stories, your everyday life could have been documented because of this technology. But before, in David's time, he loved to express himself. If he were in the condition of anguish, he cries out to God. If he's thankful, he cries it out to God. He expresses his whole being. In this particular chapter in the book of Psalms, this talks about God's greatness. And sometimes if we think about greatness, we often associate greatness to your work or to what you've done. For example, you're so great because you're a great singer. How many of you here love to sing and consider yourself a great singer, perhaps? Or for sometimes, let's say, in the world of technology, if you admire, let's say, your Apple products, your iPhones, your iPads, your MacBook, you probably think that this guy right here, Steve Jobs, is probably great. Greatness is often associated with the things that he has done. Or maybe like this guy right here, Mark Zuckerberg, the co-founder of Facebook. If you try to realize the scope of Facebook and how far Facebook has gone throughout the world, you would begin to realize, oh man, this has done a great job. We define greatness to some extent. Or maybe this guy over here, perhaps the second richest or the richest person in the world, Bill Gates. All your laptops, Microsofts, and the documents that you're printing is all because of this guy right here. And we often associate that with greatness. On our attempt to describe God's greatness, it's just going to be futile. Because God is so great and we are but finite, our attempt to describe God's greatness is just going to be as much, but it isn't really much. It's like scooping an entire ocean. It's like putting the entire ocean in a bucket. If you're here, you're an intellectual person, and you're trying to comprehend the greatness of God, maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years, and for all the things that you've gone through in your life, you would begin to say, God is great because of this and that. You begin to put it out and put it into a bucket. Or just like what we've talked about, God's glory is just the tip of an iceberg. We can only know much, but it isn't really much. Sometimes God's greatness is manifested in his creation. Just like Facebook, we see that Mark Zuckerberg is great because of what he has done. Sometimes if you go to the boulevard, perhaps, if you're someone who goes out, wants to have solitary moments, you go to the beach, and once you gaze upon the beauty of the beach and all those, you begin to express God's greatness. God is so great. If you go to the mountains and such like that. How many of you are like that? If you go to places like Lake Balin sa Sayaw, I believe some of us here have already been there. But when I went there, of course, the place wasn't that majestic until you reach the middle part. You ride a boat, go to the middle part. And sometimes if it's raining, it's zero visibility. That means there's just fog everywhere. You can't see a thing. And when you're there and it's raining, you can't see a thing. But all of a sudden, when the fog disappears, you begin to see the mountains. You begin to see the lake. You begin to see everything. And you begin to gaze how majestic God's creation is in this particular province. All we can say is just to express it. Or maybe you've been to Baez. And you've seen all those dolphins. Just before you go to a sandbar, you often pass by the part of the sea. And when we were there, I was with Kuya Tom 3 years ago. When we were there, we were looking for dolphins. And all of a sudden, we saw big individual dolphins appearing on the surface. And I was like, ah, awesome. Lord, you are great. You are great. You are great. And they're like, all right, it's over. After 20 minutes of waiting, no dolphins. And then after 15 minutes, there's another dolphin. Oh, that's it, that's it. This is why we came here. And then I was like thinking, okay, so this is just it? We paid this amount and then just individual dolphins from time to time? All right, we gave up. We went to a sandbar. And on our way there, we saw a pod of dolphins everywhere. We couldn't begin to describe our feeling. The water was too clear. Crystal clear, that when we looked down, we could see all the dolphins swimming in one direction. One direction, on the surface, under the sea. It's just everywhere. Some of them are jumping, and you would begin to gaze upon the greatness of his creation. But what is my point here? David gave us a glimpse. This particular psalm gave us a glimpse about God's greatness. Yes, we cannot define it, but there's a glimpse. And it says here in Psalm chapter 145, verse 3, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." The Bible says his greatness is unsearchable. I have here a picture of the Voyager 1. If you're a physics enthusiast or if you love physics and astronomy, you would know this. Voyager 1 was like the first or one of the first man-made machines or space probes to ever go out of space. And the goal of this particular space probe is to probe Jupiter. But after which, the probe went farther and farther away from Jupiter. And guess what? For 40 long years, it's been traveling, exploring the vastness of the universe. 40 long years. It was launched in 1977. And as of November 29, 2016, 1 a.m. local time, Philippine time, it's already 20.59 billion kilometers away from the Earth. That's just like 440,000 times. If you circumnavigate the planet or the Earth, it's like circumnavigating the planet 440,000 times. That's how far it is. It's 20.59 billion kilometers away. The truth is that man-made 40 years of travel has only traveled so far that it's still within the heliosphere. The heliosphere is still within the solar system, our own solar system. 40 long years of travel, but still within the solar system. The sun is still its nearest star. And if you try to count all the stars out there at night, if you study it, you would begin to understand that they are bigger than the sun. And they have planetary beings or bodily beings revolving around every single star right there. And this man's exploration of the universe is just that far. It didn't even reach the next galaxy. We can only see Andromeda by a Hubble telescope, but not physically. And this is how great and vast and unsearchable the universe is. This is how great and vast the universe is. And this is just the universe that God has made. This is not God yet. If we try to comprehend the universe, that's impossible. How much more its creator? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. I don't know if you've created something before, but I was always amazed by the person who invented the calculator. Let's just give an illustration. The calculator. I don't know why or what came into the person's mind to really build such an amazing thing. It simplifies our life. Makes us calculate big things, big numbers for the engineers and all that. You directly calculate things because of this particular machine. Or let's talk about your cell phone or what. Let's say all of those things are so great. But the creator, the man who created the calculator, far outweighs the calculator. The creator far outweighs the creation. And if man cannot fathom the universe, we cannot fathom the creator. Because the Bible says his greatness no one can fathom. But the sad reality is, atheism has gone out to the world. Atheists would begin to tell you, hey, the universe was only a product of a random collocation of atoms. The life on Earth started with a primordial soup. In other words, it's a product of chance. If you toss a die, that's chance over there. It's a product of chance. Everything in the universe, atheists would assert or would postulate, regardless of how magnificent, regardless of how well-crafted the universe is, it's but a random collocation of atoms. But my question is, how can a perfectly designed universe be a product of chance? I mean, think about it. I mean, look at the person seated next to you. Do you think that person is a product of chance? I don't think so. If you gaze upon beauty, you won't say that that is just a product of the Big Bang, or if I throw a grenade there, it creates something wonderful and beautiful. I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, if you happen to go to perhaps a different planet, let's say, for example, Mars. And while you're walking, you would know that there are no people living in Mars. And you're just walking there, you have a round ticket to Mars, hypothetically. You're walking there, and you gaze upon one structure, and you walk through it, and once you saw it, you saw a pyramid. Let's say you saw a pyramid. And you know for a fact that there are no people in Mars. But because you saw this pyramid, you begin to study its intricate design, that the bricks were well-crafted, the bricks were well-arranged to a manner that it goes up and has that form. You begin to see intelligent design. And if there is intelligent design, there is intelligence behind it. Then you would begin to say, oh, there were people who used to be here. You would begin to perhaps theorize that there were aliens living in Mars because you saw such. Just because you walk through an art gallery and you see all the beautiful artworks and you don't see the artist does not mean that there is none. In the same way, if you try to gaze upon the beauty of creation, you'll begin to see that there is a designer. That there is an architect. And that architect is God, and He's a great God. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. We can see it in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. They are without excuse. You cannot say that there is no designer if there is a design. He's not a blind watchmaker. Here's my point. The universe is perfectly designed and fine-tuned to be devoid of a designer. If you study the Earth's axis, it's tilted 23.5 degrees. And that's the reason why we have different climates. That's the reason why we have different seasons. Not in the Philippines, though, but in the different parts of the world, they have different seasons. But it's bearable. It's bearable. It's because of the 23.5 degrees. And scientists would tell you it's a product of chance. It's a product of a random collocation of atoms. It's just a product. And if you think about it, if it's a product of chance, what if the tilting was 45 degrees? What if? You know what? Scientists would begin to say that if it has been tilted 45 degrees instead of the current one, which is 23.5 degrees, everything's going to be devastating. Everything's gonna be chaotic. There will be extreme weathers, there will be extreme climates, extreme temperatures. That life is not gonna be possible in a world like that. And you begin to look at that, how perfectly fine-tuned the universe is. The Bible says that we are without excuse. And His greatness, no one can fathom. The second point I want to share is God's greatness is uncontainable. God's greatness is uncontainable. I don't know about you, but have you tried having an overwhelming experience? Let's say, for example, you receive the great news and you cannot just contain the news. You have to tell it to all people. You have to share it on Facebook. I remember 2 nights ago when I was preparing this preaching, my brother received the great news. It's 2 in the morning. And because he was so pumped up and excited and overwhelmed, he rushed to my mother who was sleeping, woke her up and told her the news. Some of us know that. You cannot just hold and contain such great news. Or maybe if you win a raffle, you've been joining raffles, and finally, you won a brand new car. But if you won a brand new car out of a raffle draw, I mean, it's just going to be uncontainable. You cannot begin to hold it, that you would share it, that you would post it on Facebook, that you would post it in your Instagram, that you'll tell it to all people, that you'll tell it to your neighbors, to your friends. If you pass the board exam or the bar exam, you would begin to tell it to everyone. Now, the moment we behold God's greatness, it's going to be uncontainable. It's going to be uncontainable. That's the reason why our testimonies are uncontainable. That's the reason why if you have an answered prayer, it's just going to be uncontainable. The past few weeks, we started the year with an annual prayer and fasting. We prayed for a list of things. And if those things get to be answered, it's just going to be uncontainable that you'll begin to testify about God's goodness. That's why David in Psalms chapter 145 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your majesty. And on your wondrous works I will meditate. And they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. And I will declare your greatness." I will declare your greatness. "They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." David was like saying here that all these people, that if you experience God's greatness, you cannot begin to hold it down, but you have to express it. That's why if you study the passage, it says there in verse 2, "They shall bless you. They shall praise your name. They shall commend your works. They shall declare your mighty acts. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds." It says there in verse 7, "They shall sing aloud of your righteousness. They shall give thanks. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. They shall make known to the children of man your mighty deeds." The moment you realize God's greatness in your life, in every season, it is my prayer that you'll begin to declare it. You will begin to declare it with all your heart. That people will begin to see your life. People will begin to notice you. What's with this person? What's with this person? He always gets promoted. What's with this person? He has great favor from this person. That's because of God's greatness in every season, in every area of our lives. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory." As we close this series, it is my prayer that we would begin to look back, we would begin to meditate on God's glory, and we'll begin to declare it. That as we experience the goodness of God in our lives, in every season, whatever area that is, we'd begin to declare God's glory and testify about it. That if we experience God's generosity, we would not begin to contain it. And his graciousness, oh, his graciousness, oh, we don't deserve. It is just but fitting to praise him in every season because God is great and he is greatly to be praised. And my last point here is, God's greatness is unselfish. Yes, it is true that he's the God of the universe. It is true that he's incomprehensible. He's big and vast. He's the same God who loves you the same. He's the same God who formed and crafted the stars out there. The star breather, the Bible says, but he's the same God who fashioned your very core. He's the same God who knows the number of your hair. It says there in Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 to 4, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" David's like explaining, what is man that you are mindful of him? He was like staring at the sky, and he was like looking at him and staring at the sky and looking at him. And he's like saying, how small I am in this infinite universe that God has made. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Think about it. God went down as Jesus. And through Jesus, do we get relationship with him? That is something, that is the great thing out there. If Bill Gates and all those people who were great because of what they did, you know what? God is great because he's great, and what he did on the cross is great. Because as great as sinners we are, that is as great a Savior he is. It is my prayer that whatever season, area of our life, we would begin to praise him, we would begin to see his greatness. If you're down and you feel insecure, you begin to look at him. Sometimes you only feel insecure if we look at ourselves. If you look at how ungreat you are, But the moment you shift gears, the moment you look to the other side, the moment you look up and fix your eyes on Jesus, that's the time that things begin to change. That's the time that you'll get your breakthrough. And I pray, this is my prayer, that in every season, whatever you're going through, you look upon God's greatness. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 135, verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The Bible says He's the lifter of your head. He's your glory. He's your shield. And He's the lifter of your head. In times that you are down, just look to Him. Look upon His greatness. His greatness displaces your sinfulness. The law of displacement, if you put a rock in a glass filled with water, the water will be displaced. In the same way, God's greatness will displace everything in your life. It will displace every insecurity. The pride that you so hate, look upon God's greatness. Don't look at your greatness. Don't look at the things you've done. But look unto Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And you'll have your breakthrough.